You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. Welcome, friends, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And guess what? This is not Sita. So this is Ellen Little, her favorite co-host. And Sita, we miss you, so hopefully you're having safe travels back home today. But we are going to have an action-packed show today, just like we always do each and every Monday. We are here in studio with Joe Shim, who is the first vice president of the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast. So welcome, Joe.
Thank you.
Her and I are going to co-host today together.
We are, and I'm really looking forward to it.
I am too. It's your first debut as a co-host, isn't it?
It is. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm delighted as well. And we're also in studio here with Dr. Paul Buza and Janelle Buza with the Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Chamber. Mm-hmm. So we're so glad. And Janelle, you've been on the show before.
Yes, I have, two other times. I'm very excited to be back, and I was happy I got to bring my dad along with me this time.
Yeah, last time it was your mom. Well, so two
first
times
time,
ago it was
yeah.
your mom.
Yeah. First time was my mom. Next time it was me with Claire from the Zonta Club in Melbourne.
That's right.
And this time it's me here with my father, Dr. Buza.
I'm so excited. And Dr. Buza, we're so glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
So we're going to get the full scoop this time. From the guy that started it all.
I feel like I'm chaperoning Janelle on an outing.
No.
Well, we could make that happen too. No. Have lunch afterward.
It's been a long time since I needed a chaperone.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, we are so excited to learn about the HBO treatment, hyperbaric
oxygen
chamber, oxygen therapy. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited to hear about that. But first, we wanted to start out with, since we have Joe here, and again, first vice president of the League of Women Voters for the Space Coast. She's going to share with us today some great information about the 2018 general amendments and referendums that are coming up, and some things about voting, some dates and so forth. So awesome.
Thank
share.
You. So it's time to get ready to vote, everybody. And I've got some really important information. And I think the first thing to acknowledge is that so many organizations are actually doing a great job getting great information about voting out there, because I've heard a lot of announcements, NPR this morning, the NAACP, the ACLU, the different political parties, they are all getting information out to the general public. But the first thing I want you to know is that today, July the 30th, is the last day to register to vote in the primary election. So if you have not registered to vote, you can go to the Supervisor Elections website and you can sign on electronically, or you can go to any one of the four Supervisor Elections offices in Brevard by 5 o'clock today.
That's pretty easy, right? I mean, you just need to bring an ID with you.
It is. You basically just need your driver's license, and you just need to fill in the form.
Excellent.
So it is easy to do, but if you want to vote in the primaries, you need to go today. So in the primary election, which is going to be on August the 28th, and the election polling places are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., you can vote for the primaries for the governor, attorney general, commissioner of agriculture. And depending on your district and party affiliation, county commissioner, school board, and Florida House races. So you can see there's a lot to give your opinion on, and voting is such an important right for everybody. So I'm urging everybody to use that right to the best advantage.
And I found the website, the Supervisor of Elections website, I found it so easy because you can click on the links.
It
tells you about the candidates. It also gave us gave me anyway. I downloaded a sample ballot for my area, for my district, for my precinct, and it made it really easy so that I can do a little bit of research before I go.
It is, and you really need to do research because there's a lot of candidates. So
there are, especially our very own Sita Begee,
yes,
who happens to be on that ballot as well.
So the general election will be on November the 6th, and the primary election is August the 28th, as I just said. And the last date to register for the general election will be October the 9th, another important date to remember if you don't register for the primaries. And then early voting for the general election is October the 27th through November the 3rd. And early voting for the primary election is August the 18th through August the 25th. So because there's a lot of things to vote on, I would urge you, go and vote early because the lines, I think, are going to be long this year.
Well, and start your research now, for sure, because
exactly,
like Joe said, that there's a lot of, not only are there a lot of amendments and revisions to some amendments, but also there's there's like five or six people in the governor race, isn't there?
Five, yeah. Democrats, I know, and
yeah,
I think as many Republicans. Yeah.
Oh, geez,
yeah.
Like the presidential election, right? There were 17
yes, yeah,
to pick from.
Mm-hmm. So, things to do, just a checklist. Visit the Brevard Supervisor of Elections website, which is www.votebrevard.com. Check your registration status. That's very important. Make sure that your signature is correct, that you don't need to do anything, that you are registered. Check your precinct because some of them have changed. And what we're recommending everybody to do this year is actually to request a vote by mail ballot, and you can do that online also. It's going to make the process much easier because then you can do your research and fill in your ballot at the same time.
Well, and hopefully that'll give us a better turnout.
And hopefully it will, yes.
And that's one
if you're
of the bigger
worried,
things for me.
I've been worried. I didn't want to vote by mail because I was afraid. I didn't know what was going to happen to that ballot. But you can actually track it all the way through until it's actually counted.
Is that something new this year?
I think you've been able to do that before, but I always like the idea of putting mine in the actual box. But yes, so you can actually track that.
That's amazing. I had no idea you could track your mail-in ballot.
Yes.
That's outstanding.
Yes.
That is outstanding. I know. See, you learn something new every week on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Yes.
So every week.
The other thing I want to stress is that this year on the general election ballot, you also have the opportunity to vote on 13 amendments to the Florida Constitution. And I'm here to tell you many of them are not straightforward, and it's a really good idea to do your homework beforehand. So I'm just going to talk about a couple of them now, which you might have heard of, but there will be more information coming out. You can actually go to the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast website and click on amendments, and it will actually give you a background to each amendment. It will tell you what a yes vote means and a no vote means. It will tell you the League's opinion, and it will tell you what organizations are going yes and going no on each of the issues. But first of all, you may have heard about Amendment 4, and this is the Second Chances Amendment. So this is the one that was a citizens' initiative. So citizens had to sign a lot of petitions in order to get this on the ballot. I think almost a million to get it on the ballot. And this restores voting rights to felons after they have completed their sentences, except for those convicted of murder or sexual offenses. And Florida, if you didn't know it, is one of only four states that permanently bars felons from voting after their sentences are complete. And not completely, because there is a clemency process, and you can go to the clemency board. There is a very long waiting list, and on average, only 300 ex-felons get their right to vote back each year, which is a very small number.
That is a small number, considering how many people we have in our prison systems that
yes,
are in there for nonviolent offenses.
And some of them have been working on it for years and years and years, and getting that right to vote back, I think, is an important part of getting somebody back into society.
Yes.
And then the other one is Amendment 6, which is Marcy's Law. And so this is one of the amendments which actually combines several things. So it, first of all, it vastly expands the scope of victims' right under the state's constitution. It increases the mandatory retirement age for judges from 70 to 75, and it forces courts and judges to interpret laws and rules for themselves rather than relying on previous interpretations. So that would seem like a no-brainer in a way, because everybody wants victims' rights. But the victims' rights are already protected in the Constitution, and so this amendment would eliminate any existing provisions that victims' rights do not interfere with the constitutional rights of the accused. And so that is the fear, actually, that this would end up affecting the rights of the accused, which I think we should definitely respect as well. And this has been enacted in many other states, and they've actually had problems with it. So this is one I would urge you to study definitely before you decide on how you're going to vote. So just let me finish up by giving you a few events you might want to participate in to improve your knowledge and really know who you're voting for. So there's two candidates forums that are coming up next week, and these forums are sponsored by Florida Today, Eastern Florida State College, and the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast. So on August the 7th at Simpkins Center, which is going to be at the COCO campus of Eastern Florida State College, at 7 p.m., there will be the County Commissioners District 2, which is going to be a very interesting race, and at 8 p.m., County Commissioners District 4. The following day, at the same time, 7 p.m. and 8 p.m., it's going to be Florida House District 51 and Florida House District 52. And if you can't make it in person, you can watch the debates or the candidates' forums on WESF-TV.
I was just going to say, because they're really good about airing those, those forums. So even if you can't get out to those, you certainly want to look them up on your local station.
And if you have any burning questions, you can actually email them in to Florida Today to Isadora Rangel, and she will consider all the questions, all the questions that are sent in. And then finally, tomorrow there's going to be a title in the title town hall series. There's going to be one in Melbourne, and this is a forum on sea level rise and climate change, and it's going to be tomorrow at Unity Church of Melbourne. That's 2401 North Harbour City Boulevard, Melbourne. So we hope if you're interested in the environment, you will attend that forum. So thank you very much for the opportunity to get this really important information out. So
this was great information to share with everybody here on WWBC 1510 AM and also to our three FM stations, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7 here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll make sure that all of that, and Joe, you'll help me, right?
I will.
Make sure that we post all of this on our Facebook page, and we will get all of this information out, because it is really important to all of us, especially to Sita and I. We want to make sure that people get involved and get connected with the community as much as possible, which is why we've been doing this show for 7 years, is because there's so many things, so many great programs and great information out there that I think citizens just miss out on. I really don't think that people wake up and say, I'm not going to vote. I think they just really don't realize how easy it is.
It is easy. And your vote really does count.
It really, really does count. So little shout out about League of Women Voters. You still accept as open enrollment for membership?
Oh, yes. Anybody can join. And the great thing is men, women, any age, and the great thing is, it's actually free for students to join now. So we are with the Parkland issue. We have, so many students want to get involved. So high school students, you have to be over 16, but high school students, university, college students, we welcome you. And you can just go to our website and sign on right now and become a member and come to some of our events.
Well, we're so excited. And we'll make sure we get all of those events out there for everyone to participate in. And now on to, we learned a lot this morning about hyperbaric oxygen therapy, didn't we, Joe?
We did.
Yeah, even in the little bit of time that we had in our green room to talk before the show. Of course, Janelle's been on before, and we've talked a lot about the hyperbaric chamber and the fact of Brevard County is just missing. Some folks are just missing out on some great information to share about it.
Absolutely. Back in 2001 or 1998, when my parents opened the facility, you know, hyperbarics at the time, as my father likes to say, was voodoo medicine.
Right,
and
right.
And it wasn't widely accepted. And the shame of that was is that the military has been using hyperbaric oxygen therapy to treat wounded soldiers since the Korean War. Mm-hmm. So this isn't new. It's not new medicine. This is a long-established program with unbelievable amounts of research that's done. And part of the reason why hyperbarics isn't as popular as other treatments is primarily because it's not pharmaceutically backed. It's we're somewhat of a holistic treatment, if you could say. Medicare has approved the majority of our indications, so there's lots of opportunities out there for people with a wide variety of diseases and illnesses that can receive treatment that is completely and fully reimbursed by their insurance companies. But one of the things that we're here about today is one of our, what we like to call our international indications, and I'll let my father take over from here.
Well, and before we go into that, Dr. Busa, how did you get hooked up with hyperbaric? I mean, you could have gone into so many different types of medicine and so many different types of therapies. How did you find out about hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and why did it turn you on?
Well, my primary is board certification in neurology. And when I came out of my training many, many years ago, I started my practice down in the Florida Keys, and I was immediately exposed to scuba divers with decompression illness. And so many people may know that scuba divers who develop the bends have to go to a hyperbaric chamber. It's what they call recompression therapy. So it was somewhat of a rude awakening for me because, you know, we weren't provided that information in medical school or in the residency. So immediately I was exposed and responsible for very serious neurological conditions related to decompression illness, spinal cord injuries, brain injuries. And so you need a hyperbaric chamber to recompress, to treat decompression. That's how I was introduced. It was at 12 o'clock at night. I was called by the emergency room, a scuba diver who couldn't move her legs. She lost control of her bowel and bladder function. And so they had a hyperbaric chamber there. And of course, with not having any experience, that was my introduction, so to speak.
Your emergency therapy, emergency figure it out.
Uh-huh. What we did that night was I coordinated with the University of Miami Diving Hyperbaric Department, and together we walked through the case, and it really stimulated my interest in such a unique non-pharmaceutical base, such as what Janelle's saying. You know, we tend to think of medications and surgery for treatment, and here we're recompressing people under different pressure, and we're actually having them breathe 100% oxygen under deeper pressures. So Janelle's right. This came from the military background for the original treatment of decompression illness. But along the way, and Janelle's correct, they found that wounded soldiers who also had wounds seemed to heal better. And so that stimulated the whole industry to look at hyperbaric oxygen for problem non-healing wounds.
So what does it do in your body? So you enter into this chamber. How long is the treatment?
So it depends on what your condition is. But in general, we compress the patient, and then we convert over to 100% oxygen. And the standard treatments that we're using, as Janelle's saying, such as for diabetic wounds that are at risk for amputation or late effect radiation from cancer survivors who received radiation therapy, these patients will come daily to the center. And in our comfortable chamber, which is a very large chamber, they will take their treatment for 2 hours at a time. And so the national average, such as for diabetic wounds and late effect radiation cancer survivors, is about 30 to 40 treatments in total. So they come to us every day, Monday through Friday, and receive a 2-hour treatment.
Yeah, the treatment is as exciting as sitting here with you right now. When you're in the chamber and we simulate the atmospheric pressure, we simulate up to 40 feet below sea level. The only thing you're going to experience as we do this is, one, it's very noisy, so we give you noise canceling headphones, and two, is a little bit of pressure on the ears that we teach you how to manage during the treatment. But once you reach the depth of which we're going to then put you on the 100% oxygen, it's actually quite boring in all reality. You're sitting there, you're doing your crossword puzzles, you're taking naps, you're socializing with the person next to you. It's not as dramatic as it may sound. It's really quite boring.
So how does it work? So like my mom used to tell me all the time to go get my go give blood every 8 weeks. I started when I was 18. She said it was like an oil change for your body. Right? I don't know whether that's true or not, but, you know, it sounded perfectly normal to me than thinking of the mechanics of a car. But what happens to your body when you go through that, when you go into the chamber?
The best and easiest way to think of it is a respiratory treatment where you're getting much higher amounts of oxygen than what we're breathing right now. So we're breathing an X amount of oxygen right now in the studio. It's 21% of the atmosphere, of course, is oxygen. And at this particular pressure. Now, when you go diving, so to speak, and you're put under pressure, the amount of oxygen that you can breathe per each breath is enormous. It's almost 15 times more than what you and I are breathing in this room right now. That oxygen goes into your lungs, and it dissolves into your bloodstream, and it flows down to the wounded site and actually helps oxygenate wounded tissues from the inside out. It is a systemic treatment. It has nothing to do with the pressure that's being pushed on the wound from the outside. It's a trick we can play on how much oxygen we can breathe to help different wounded models. As you know, diabetics have poor circulation. And because of that circulation, the oxygen in the wounded area is very, very limited. And that's why the wounds can't heal. So while they're in the chamber for 2 hours, the amount of oxygen available to those wounded tissues is enormous, and the tissues are actually able to start the healing process. That's why it doesn't work with just one treatment. It's a cumulative over 40 treatments, which is the national average. So patients are with us for their daily treatments, and it's really quite remarkable and satisfying to watch these wounds, which are at risk for amputation, actually start getting better in combination with all the other good medicine that's being done for the patient. And this, that's how it works.
And this is where it also, this model of the compressed oxygen dissolving into treat damaged tissues translates so beautifully to traumatic brain injuries and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right. Right. And what we're going to do is concentrate on that, the PTSD and the TBI, on the second half of the show, but only because we want to make sure that we get all the information out to the listeners to let them know that it's not just any one particular injury, right? It's we talked about wound care, talked about diabetic wounds, but there are also some other things like bone infections.
That's right. Patients with bone infections, if they don't respond appropriately to IV antibiotic therapy, and when they failed their first round, would then qualify for combination IV antibiotics and HBO. Again, it's the same reason. Bone itself does not have a lot of vessels, blood vessels. As you know, bone is mostly very strong calcium-based material, and there's very few blood vessels. So there's not a lot of oxygen, if you think about it, getting down into those bone materials. That being the case, when you combine the IV antibiotics with the extra oxygen into those relatively poor vascular tissues, it also helps promote killing of the bacteria and also promotes healing of the bone. Another very large component of what we currently do, and we've been doing since 1999, is late effect radiation. I like to consider it a mini subspecialty of mine. It's a Medicare-approved indication, and for cancer survivors who were fortunate enough to survive their oncology treatment, which normally includes surgery, followed by chemotherapy and radiation therapy, for those patients who received radiation therapy and then were fortunate enough to survive their cancer, unfortunately, the radiation can damage healthy tissue as much as it was trying to kill the cancer cells. About 20% of those patients will often go on to develop problems related to the prior radiation therapy. That's why we call it late effect radiation. In particular, head and neck cases, throat cancer, cancer of the mouth. And recently, within the past decade, women with breast cancer. And this has become quite a specialty of ours. We have a lot of women who were fortunate enough to survive their chemo and radiation therapy along with their surgical interventions, such as mastectomy and or even a lumpectomy, will often develop non-healing wounds associated with reconstructive surgery, which most women undergo after they've had a mastectomy. Because of the prior radiation, the radiation unfortunately hurt those same small blood vessels we were talking about in diabetic wounds. And because there's not a lot of oxygen getting into those tissues, surgeons are very reluctant to go back in and do more surgery when there's such poor circulation. Hence, they get HBO therapy pre-op and HBO therapy post-op. What's really exciting is in the past decade, there's been this new identification of a syndrome we call painful breast syndrome. Excuse me. These are women who have no wounds. They've survived their cancer. But unfortunately, they developed this very severe pain associated with the breast that was radiated. And it's called painful breast syndrome. And there wasn't much we could do other than provide pain medication.
Which is an awful alternative to use. You've fought cancer, you've survived, you're living your life again, but you're living with this awful chronic pain. And for the longest time, the only option for physicians, from physicians, was a lifetime of narcotics.
The pain develops because of the damaged tissue from the radiation. It can be spontaneous pain, where it's constant burning or electrical in nature, or the slightest touch from they can't wear a bra, a light bed sheet, just on the breast stimulates significant pain. And it's very, very uncomfortable for the patient. What we have found is that when these patients receive 30 to 40 HBO treatments, the pain dramatically subsides and in most cases is completely eliminated. We're very excited about that. It falls within the realm of late effect radiation, but there's not a wound. There's only the pain. We've now, in the past 2 years, have treated approximately 8 patients with that with excellent result. The very first thing that can be done is a reduction in the pain medicine. Mm-hmm. So we're very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting, and it's exciting for the patients as well.
Absolutely. Right, Joe? I mean, to avoid a lifetime of narcotics through, all it takes is 6 weeks of treatment. You know, if you think about it, in 6 weeks, you won't need to take medication, or you may only need to manage it with an over-the-counter pain pill. I mean, that's a life-changing treatment there. Women are getting their lives back because of that, and I think that's what's most important. We've been very fortunate. We've been able to work a lot with Driven by Heart, which is the non-for-profit organization in Brevard County that does tons of work for women with breast cancer. So that's really exciting. We're happy to be a part of that kind of a coalition of treatment.
Well, we are going to take a quick break here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we're going to get some questions because I know Joe has some questions after the break. So we're going to get those in, and we're going to come back and talk to Janelle and Dr. Buza about TBI and PTSD and the use of the hyperbaric oxygen therapy. When we come back with a quick note from our sponsors here. Take it away, Doctor.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love. From Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear friends, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I am the co-host that Sita always speaks about, Ellen Little. And with me today, helping out on the show, is Joe Shim, who is the first vice president of the League of Women Voters here on the Space Coast. She gave us some great information about voting this time. So thank you, Joe.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much. But we're also here with Janelle Buza, who's the patient advocate at the Brevard Regional Hyperbaric Center. And also Dr. Paul Buza, who is the physician and the main guy at the hyperbaric chamber. And we've been talking about the general background behind hyperbaric chamber and oxygen therapy and about all of the different types of care that can be treated with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I don't know, am I saying it correctly?
Yes,
HBO? Okay. HBO. So we left off talking about wound care and diabetic wounds and kind of how all of that works. And Joe, I think, had a few questions before we left that topic.
Yes, I did have a couple of questions. So I have a background in medical technology, and I was curious as to if some types of bacteria respond better to, if they're involved with the wound, to treatment than others.
There are. One of the early uses of hyperbarics was a life-threatening infection called gas gangrene. And another variant form of that is necrotizing fasciitis. These are life-threatening severe, almost flesh-eating like bacterial infections. And certain hospitals around the country have hyperbaric chambers available. And during that critical phase of those severe infections, they would combine the IV antibiotics with hyperbarics and surgical intervention. And that was for critical care. So the answer is yes. There are certain bacteria that would respond with the combination of hyperbarics and IV antibiotics. I think it's important, though, that hyperbarics alone itself would not cure the infection. It has to be in combination with an appropriate antibiotic.
And I just saw that on the news. Did you see that lady on the news? It was like within the last week, and she had some flesh-eating bacteria that was, and they said that, I mean, there she is alive and watching each limb get amputated because they couldn't stop it quick enough. And I, you know, I knew you were all coming on the show, and I wondered, you know, I'm glad that Joe asked that question. I wonder about, you know, the protocol for something like that and whether the amputation was necessary, you know?
In most cases, the amputation was necessary. It is a high mortality condition, and it's critical care, and it's almost always an inpatient protocol. So when you talk about the protocol, it would be a combination of surgical management along with IV antibiotics, internal medicine support, and adjunctive hyperbaric oxygen to support those avascular tissues that don't have any oxygen. That's why the tissue is dying.
And those treatments are strictly performed in a hospital-based setting, whereas we're a non-hospital program. So we don't perform the more acute and emergency-style hyperbaric treatments such as that. So in office, we stick to more of the chronic, long-term, non-fatal conditions like the diabetics and the cancer survivors. And
so I was
going to
say, if anybody's on any kind of medicine for a long period of time, I mean, it's worth a consultation, right?
Correct.
Just to see if there's some remedy outside of, because all that stuff got to kill your stomach and, you know, and then some of the side effects, even with some of the drugs that they talk about, are so almost tragic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Another question I had is, how does a patient get a referral if they think this might be appropriate for them, or where do the referrals come from?
Well, the first thing they can do is they can always call the office. The phone number for the office is, of course, 321-676-3200. Myself, Deborah, who is also my mother, Dr. Bruce's wife of 38 years, or one of our very knowledgeable staff will be answering the phones. And so you can always call and ask. And we're really good at kind of screening over the phone, like, yes, this is a condition we can treat. No, I'm sorry, this is a condition you need to follow with your primary care physician or another specialist. One of the other things that a patient can do is they can go to our website and review it there, and that's brhchyperbarics.com. And the majority of referrals that we do get, though, come from other physicians referring. You can contact your primary care physician and say, I'd like a referral to go see Dr. Buza. Or you can call me, depending on your insurance. We can make the appointment, and I can take care of that referral for you, which is one of my joys of being the patient advocate.
Yes, once again. Uh-huh. You had a question, Joe?
Well, I was just also wondering if there's a diving accident, where would that patient go? Would they go to you, or is there another hyperbaric treatment center that treats divers?
So it's remarkable how things have changed over the last 20 years. When I opened up the facility here and we went online in 1999, I was the primary dive medical officer for the East Coast of Florida, from approximately Daytona down to Palm Beach. Basically, those severe diving accidents would come into the emergency rooms, and then they would be hospitalized, mostly at Holmes Regional, where I was on staff. And we would actually transfer those critically ill people over to the hyperbaric chamber, even though we were not inside the hospital. So it's true, back in the day, and I just want to remind Janelle that 20 years ago, we used to actually bring patients from Home Regional by ambulance over to the our chamber and then send them right back.
Oh, I remember there were a handful of times that you got called away from the dinner table because somebody got bent while diving, and I was like 13 when you opened.
Yeah.
I was going to sixth grader at Gemini Elementary School.
But times have changed, and we no longer can accept decompression illness cases because it's considered a true emergency. And so those patients need to stay within the hospital system, and what they will do is be transferred to a hospital that has an inpatient hyperbaric chamber. So it's true, I'm no longer a dive medical officer, and we're just doing stable outpatient hyperbaric oxygen now. We're no longer in a time where we can accept critical care cases from an emergency room and or the ICU.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time I did.
Yep. Well, and we wanted to move on because the PTSD and the TBI, traumatic brain injury, is such a, it's so prevalent right now with our military, especially with our military. And certainly you enlightened us on some other things, the sports injury, which I hadn't thought of before. So let's talk a little bit about PTSD first, and how the hyperbaric oxygen therapy helps with that.
Sure. So within the past decade, there's been a rising awareness that hyperbaric oxygen therapy may be helpful for certain brain injury patterns, especially related to concussion, with and without PTSD. So concussion can cause significant injury to the brain, and our wounded veterans, of course, as you know, many of them have TBI PTSD. 2 years ago, I was approached by different psychiatrists and neuropsychologists who have been providing psychiatry and psychotherapy for wounded veterans who have TBI PTSD. And they basically approached us and asked us if we would add adjunctively hyperbaric oxygen to their current psychiatric management. That was new to us, and so I carefully reviewed. I did not have a whole lot of experience with that particular diagnosis, and so I carefully reviewed it with the psychiatrist. And so we decided approximately 2 years ago to make the hyperbaric chamber available for those wounded veterans with TBI PTSD in the afternoon. And the program has been very successful. I am very encouraged as to the very significant clinical improvement. In coordination with the psychiatrists and neuropsychologists and social workers who are providing their care, a very significant improvement after 2 to 3 months. The normal course of treatment is 40. That's the national average. But it's not the same depth that we talked about before the commercial. These patients only need 1 hour of treatment at a much more shallow depth. So they only go to 17 feet of seawater pressure, and they breathe 100% oxygen for 1 hour. And the national average is 30 to 40 treatments. So slowly over time, we monitor their psychiatric symptoms, and that can be a wide variety of depression, anxiety.
I was going to say that seems, memory. You know, like a wound, you see the wound heal, right?
Correct.
But with psychology, I mean, that would seem like it'd be a little bit harder to measure, right?
It is.
It's very subjective. It depends on each patient. And each patient, over time, you know, I see them every day when they walk in because I greet them as they come in. And over time, you'll start to notice things are different. You know, when a patient first comes in, if they have a memory issue, you have to write it down on a card for them, their next appointment. And then you have to make sure they put it in their phone. And then you have to call and follow up to make sure they arrive. And typically, from what I've seen, that there are patients that by the end of treatment, I'm like, do you need a card? They're like, no, I got it. And it's just a huge, and just an enormous difference in daily interactions, in their ability to interact with people is one of the things that I've seen that has been truly incredible and really eye-opening about it.
So, and I know this might sound silly, but there was this new advent of these oxygen bars, right? So somebody, one of the last times you were on the show, they had said, oh, well, I do the oxygen bar. And I was like, well, it's not the same thing.
It's not.
It's, you know, it's not the same thing. But just that flow of oxygen is what they're thinking about that sometimes clears their head. And it certainly may have those medicinal purposes, but certainly not what we're doing here, what you're doing.
Correct.
Because of the pressure.
It is. It's all about the pressure.
It really is, yeah.
And Janelle's right. Almost all of the problems that a TBI PTSD afflicted veteran would have is subjective. But the psychiatrists have objective ways of measuring. And so they do objectively measure their improvement of pain, their improvement of depression, and they give it a numerical value. And there's validated surveys that the psychiatrists used to monitor their own therapies, not to mention HBO. So we use the same things.
Yeah.
So that,
how insightful and exciting that is. Well, it really must be like such a cool thing to feel mm-hmm. that, to know that you're making a difference in something like this.
One of the biggest problems with a TBI PTSD wounded veteran is they withdraw from society and they can't function with their family and they can't become gainfully employed. Their attention is limited, they're extremely irritable, and they can be triggered from the simplest little things into temper rages. They have a constant feeling of nervousness and anxiety. They tend to withdraw from loud, noisy environments and become reclusive within their own homes. These people are hurting. And so the current psychiatric management utilizes a variety of medications, appropriately, along with psychotherapy, types of therapies that they can do either at home or in the psychiatrist's office. What they found over time is when they combine these same therapies with the hyperbaric oxygen, these patients make a significant clinical improvement. And the good news is it just doesn't wear off after the treatment stops.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is it appears to be long-lasting.
It's hard
to measure, and if you don't mind my just taking another minute, a lot of these people will have an MRI of the brain and an EEG. So an MRI of the brain gives us a beautiful picture of the brain. In many cases, these MRIs are normal. And with the EEG, which is a brainwave test where they paste wires on your scalp and they look at the brainwave test, well, these would be normal as well. And so what's happening, and with all due respect, is no one is seeing objective damage to the brain, and all these symptoms are subjective. And so what that tells us is we don't really have the tools yet to objectively order a test that we can actually follow. And I know a lot of people, that's what they want. They want something objective they can see. Recently, there's been a development for a new type of scan called the NeuroSpec scan, which looks at the brain in a completely different way than the MRI and the EEG does. Now, there is some controversy out there about this NeuroSpec scan, but we're finding in clinical studies that when a NeuroSpec scan shows abnormalities that the MRI and EEG did not, after 40 treatments, you repeat the NeuroSpec scans, we're showing significant improvement. Now, in and of itself, comparing the baseline to post-treatment isn't in and of itself important. Mm-hmm. The NeuroSpec scan looks at the brain completely different. It's looking at how well the brain is taking up oxygen. And so this test seems to be perfect for us.
Yeah, exactly. And
quite frankly, I'll have normal MRIs and EEGs with patients with severe clinical PTSD, TBI, and the post-NeuroSpec scans show interval improvement. And so I think we're on the right track. And I'm very, very excited with the excellent clinical response to hyperbarics because it is safe. And the idea that a lot of these veterans could actually start reducing some of the medications, because as you know, some of these veterans are taking a lot of different medications. And you mix all those medications together, and if they're not significantly getting improvement, what we've noticed is a clinical improvement in the ability to reduce some of those medications. Not all of them, but the ability to reduce the number of medications that they've been taking. So that's exciting.
It's very exciting.
It is.
So well, how many have you treated? How many veterans have you treated so far?
So in the last 2 years.
We've had over 100 patients come through our program.
We've been a busy program now for 2 years.
We have.
So it must be successful.
Yeah. You know, one of the really terrifying statistics out there about veterans with PTSD, and I looked this up just the other day on treatnow.org, one of the non-for-profit organizations that will reimburse for hyperbaric treatment for veterans, is there's 22 veteran suicides a day, over 40 attempts a day, and 26,000 cries for help a year. So that just goes to show the need. You know, there's a huge need.
I've been doing 22 push-ups a day for a while, and it's in support of we started that all on Facebook.
Yes.
That there were 22 push-ups a day to try and raise the awareness to that. Mm-hmm. But just the simple fact that there's an alternative to the medical, to the pill taking, let's put it that way, is so enlightening.
Yeah.
So this treatment is so successful. How is it funded?
Currently, there are numerous non-profit organizations, foundations, that are helping some of these veterans access funds to be able to pay for it. It is currently not a Medicare and or Veterans Administration approved indication. Some of the patients can afford to pay for the treatments, which on a relative basis are affordable for many of the different patients that we have. For those who can't, they can access non-for-profit foundations such as Project 22, Wounded Warriors,
and
the HOW Foundation, which is an acronym for Help Our Wounded. And so those foundations are growing. And it's not just to access hyperbaric treatments. It's also other forms of treatment as well.
Sure.
So currently, it's not a traditionally accepted Medicare or Veterans Administration accepted indication. And so we're going through that process. Please let me remind you that when I opened our facility 20 years ago, severe diabetic wounds at risk for amputation were not covered by Medicare.
So another vote to go vote, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because a citizen could simply bring this up and get it on, I don't know if that would go on a ballot, but necessarily it would certainly be
It would need to be legislated by the state.
But I think this is something veterans could take to their state senators and their state house members. And I think it needs veterans to go and talk to their legislative representatives. And sometimes you need to go several times, but I feel like that's something they could do. And it's something everybody can do if there's an issue you feel really strongly about. Mm-hmm. You can make a difference.
One of the benefits of having we have one of the largest civilian-owned hyperbaric chambers in the United States, right here in sleepy old Melbourne, and right behind the Melbourne Mall. One of the benefits of having such a large chamber is that we have the luxury of volume. So because we can put between 6 and 8 veterans with PTSD in the chamber at a time, we're able to offer significantly reduced rates. And we really do try to make it as affordable as possible for the veteran to receive treatment. We do payment plans. We do all of it.
Yeah, I saw that on your website. Once again, what's the website? Because you have got some great links on there, too, for those veteran organizations.
Yes, it's brhchyperbarics.com.
And the phone number, again, just in case they can't get to the website?
Of course, 321-676-3200. I only say it 1,000 times a day.
Only 1,000. Only 1,000. But what are some of the other benefits for the veteran, and not just veterans, sports, athletes, folks that are any kind of brain injury? What are some of the other benefits that people see?
The most important non-wounded veteran is sports. There's a growing awareness now in high school football, college football, and now the NFL.
And women's soccer as well.
Women's soccer in particular. And so concussion is a concussion, whether it occurs in, you know, the battlefield or on the football field.
Or in a car.
Or in a car.
Right.
Concussions are concussions. And so there's now a growing awareness that on the same principles that we just talked about, that hyperbaric oxygen can also be helpful in people who have sustained a significant close-head injury, traumatic brain injury with concussion, with residual symptoms and problems that don't resolve with basic care.
And what are some of those symptoms?
Yeah,
can you elaborate on?
Yeah.
Well, the most common is dizziness, lightheadedness, difficulties with balance, headache, attention. A lot of our kids who get a serious concussion while playing football often can't go back to school because they can't focus and concentrate on their schoolwork. So these kinds of symptoms, if treated early in the hyperbaric chamber, have been resolved. And this, even though we don't actively have a local sports program, which I would love to have, there are other programs around the United States where high school football players are referred immediately to the hyperbaric physician for urgent HBO treatment during the early stages. Matter of fact, one particular doctor who's leading the national movement on that, her name is Dr. Daphne Denham, MD, and she probably has the most experience with high school concussions. And so I think there's a growing movement to look at that. Now, the NFL is looking at it as well, National Hockey League,
yeah,
basketball. So there's a rising awareness and a rising tide of awareness that HBO can be helpful for closed head injury.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. And it is amazing, once again, that the mechanics of our bodies and how a great program like this, or a great protocol, I should say, mm-hmm, like this, avoids all of that, taking pills every day and all, mm-hmm, of those things, and gets people back to a healthy lifestyle, and certainly gets them back to at least closer to where they were before. I don't know, yeah, it's 100% cure. I don't know that anybody could say that,
mm-hmm,
but certainly it gets us back to more of a functioning standpoint.
Well,
so what are some other things? We got one minute left,
okay,
with the show. Unbelievable how fast it,
yeah,
goes. What are some last comments that you'd like to make about the hyperbaric chamber or the oxygen therapy?
The best thing that anybody in the community can do, if they think that they might benefit from hyperbarics, or if someone they love might benefit from hyperbarics, is to just give us a call. Give us a call. We'll talk to you. We'll spend time with you on the phone. We'll let you know. And it's our pleasure to do that, because what we want to do in this community is just to improve it. And if we can help our veterans, if we can help cancer survivors, if we can help diabetics, we're going to do it. We're going to do whatever we can to help you.
Yep. And three big topics that happen in our community quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe Shim, thank you so much for all the education on the voting and the amendments and getting
thank
out there
you.
To vote.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for sharing the airwaves with us today.
It was, yeah, a pleasure.
Dr. Buza and Chanel, thank you so much for being here. And, of course, Sita, we miss you. But make sure that you tune in to SitaMediaInc.com. We also have it on www.1510wbc. We have all of our podcasts on there, as well as the website and iTunes. And next week, we're going to have another fun-filled radio show, but Sita will be back. See y'all next week. Thank you for listening.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
We bow down and confess you are Lord in this place. We bow down.